You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
All right. Yeah. Well, Jack, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. The question is, how would I train myself to hear the voice of God more clearly?
Love Glorious. It. How can love we train ourselves to hear the voice of God more clearly? Who wishes to That's instruct funny. Us first?
The last few shows have kind of circled around this conversation, so I'm glad that we're following up with this one.
All right, I'll go first.
Oh, wow. Come on. Boom. Jumping right in.
Boom.
Do it.
Easy. Okay. How to train myself to hear the voice of God more clearly? I think I would just say trust yourself. Trust yourself that you can hear the voice of God. It takes faith to trust in the word of God. And so if you think about it, like, it takes faith to trust that the Bible is the inspired word of God, right? That it takes faith that the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament are the word of God. And yet as a Christian, we often have great faith in that very easily, right? It takes faith to have trust that the Catholic Church
the dogmas are true. Yeah.
The church teachings are the word of God. And yet we often have as Catholics, pretty quick faith in those. And so I would say it also takes trust or faith that that God speaks to us, and that the word of God that I hear in prayer is God's word. And so if you are practicing hearing the word of God more, I would just encourage you to trust what you hear and not question yourself so much. I think a lot of times I don't know where it came, quite honestly, that we started questioning ourselves so much in our spiritual life. It's almost like, as if the typical disposition is that when I'm engaging in conversation with the Lord, what I'm hearing isn't Him, right?
You need to assume that you're talking to demons.
Just in case. But there is a lot of fear that it's demons that are that it's not God's voice, and oh my gosh, this could be like the devil's voice. And we were baptized in Christ Jesus. We received the gift of faith, hope, and love, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so when I pray, I'm in relationship with someone, and I can have trust, just faith, that what I'm hearing is accurate. And so if you're struggling to grow in your relationship with the Lord or to hear His voice more, I would try to take away as much as you can just that doubt that you don't have the ability to hear God's voice. In Scripture, He says that He wants to speak to us, and that we can hear His voice and we can know Him. And so I would encourage you just trust. Make that your first step.
Yeah. Dan, you use the word trust yourself and trust your process. And I know what you're saying this, but trust God as well.
Yeah.
Like let's take God at His word when He says in Scripture, like, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus is explicitly clear, and saints throughout generations have taken Him at His word. Mm-hmm. Like the prevailing assumption of the church is that prayer is intended to be dialogical. Like, we're supposed to be in relationship, a living relationship with God.
Yeah.
So yeah, the assumption that I expose myself to risk, or I expose myself to deception when I begin a prayer, is actually a very counter Catholic argument.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's interesting because Dei Verbum, which is like the dogmatic constitution on divine revelation from Vatican II, it starts with that whole concept that revelation is dialogical, that it's actually that God wants to reveal Himself to man, and so the man can come to know Him. It's before Dei Verbum gets into talking about the public revelation of Scripture and tradition, it's that God wants to be in dialogue with man. Mm-hmm. That there's something that God has. So it's what we were made for, as being made in His image and likeness as children of God. We are made for this.
Yeah. Well, and if God wants to reveal Himself to the men and women that He created, He's probably going to reveal Himself to them in ways that they can interpret and understand. Like, God made us as people that hear and listen and are in relationship with people that we can share words with. Like, think about one relationship you have that, like, you've never shared, like, words or expressions to, like, it doesn't exist, because that's what relationship is built on. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if God is revealing that He wants to be in relationship with us, of course He's going to use the means that He's given us to be in relationship with people. Like, or why would He create us in such a way that would be counter to it? I think sometimes we can just catch ourselves up in all kinds of sidewaysness. And when we just go back to, like, basic principles that He made us in this way. And if he wants to relate to us, he's going to relate to us in the way he made us.
You know, I think actually it's funny because blaming the fact that I can't hear God is often the excuse for our inaction. And so I wonder if it's like, oh, I don't know what God wants from me. I don't know if we'd say, okay, I am hearing God speak to me in prayer and it's causing me fear. Why is it, Lord, yeah, why is this causing me fear? Or I think I believe what God is saying to me, but I have hesitancy. God, why do I have hesitancy? And instead of denying that, like that God is speaking to us, address the emotions that come or the things that come up, the once we're in dialogue with him, we start hearing those things come up now. Okay. That moves the prayer or the conversation further.
Yeah. I'm afraid of being wrong or whatever the fear behind that might be. And we say this all the time at Damascus, but I think it's helpful for me to just be reminded of all the time. The only way you're going to know if it's God speaking or you speaking is by doing it and then seeing the fruits. Like you'll know a word by its fruits. If it's God, then the fruit will be behind it. If it's you, there will be some failure in it. And then just repent and give it back to God and say, I want to hear you better. Like we get in this fear of failure, but God never said, do life in such a way where you never, ever fail. He said, do life in such a way where you allow me to be with you always.
Can you tell we're a little passionate about this topic?
Yeah, get fired up.
Let me, the way I interpret this question, I'm gonna toss a couple 2 cents in.
Well, you're not actually going to toss them in. You're going to flip a few 2 cents and they're not going to go
in. I'm
going to
flip them off the rim.
He hit the mission. He hit the mission garden tea camp.
The key word for me, if I want to train myself to hear God more effectively, is that the way it was asked? I don't even know. Practice. Mm-hmm. I think you used the word, Dan, and I would just emphasize that practice is a practical word and we need to just build our lifestyle in such a way that we prioritize and honor the things that we value. So I had a conversation recently here at Damascus where somebody was identifying that he feels that a call on his life is going to be teaching and preaching, right? So my response to him wasn't like, great, I'm glad you feel that. You're now on stage. Like this is the assignment we're going to have for you. You're going to headline all of our main conferences, right? No, there's a process where if I feel like that is a call that God's placed on my life, I need to start and refine my art and I need to become more effective at praying and preparing and delivering messages, right? There's an exercise where I can become a more effective orator. Of course, submitting all of these things to the Lord, because yeah, this is a real spiritual gift that's identified in scripture. And it's also something that I need to partner with in order to allow it to grow in me and to bear fruit. I think the same exact expression can be said when it comes to learning how to pray effectively, right? Learning how to pray effectively. It's a communication. It's a means of communication. I know that I am 17 years into my marriage with my wife better at communicating today than I was 17 years ago. Why? Because I practice it every single day. And communication is something that you can and need to grow in order to be a better person at being in relationship. And that, I think that's what the question is asking. Mm-hmm. How do I become better at being in a living relationship, to quote the catechism, with God?
How do you practice?
Yeah. So that's where we're going. I would offer two practicals. So the first is, when I engage in my regular prayer time, when you engage in your regular prayer time, I would encourage a discipline of beginning your prayer time by actually starting personally. So starting your prayer time with a conversational opening with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, that I'm going to engage with you as if I was walking into a room and sitting down at a table with you and beginning a conversation. And I think the fear of that, or the apprehension that people may have in doing that, is that feels less holy. Or that feels maybe juvenile, but I think that engaging in a personal introduction at the start of prayer can actually kind of break us out of our box of prayer needing to be this super serious or structured thing that needs to begin liturgically and end liturgically, right? The second piece I would say is, as I'm practicing hearing God, I need to also make a committed practice to responding to that word. So I know I've shared it on the show here, but it's I started this probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I intended for it to be a seasonal thing for like a month or two, and I have continued it on for the duration, and it's been so life-giving to me and others that every day I try to maintain strict adherence to in my daily prayer, I have a reminder on my phone every day that says you need to pray for a word of prayer for somebody and deliver it them, and then receive feedback. So I want to pray for somebody. I usually reach out to them with a text and I let them know that I've prayed for them. I let them know what the Lord is, what it is that I've determined that the Lord was speaking for them. And then I wait to receive feedback from them. And lo and behold, as I have practiced this, you know, praise be to God, I have seen an increase in my own experience of greater accuracy and ease by which these words are received and delivered, and a greater consistency with which people say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing this word. It was super timely, and it was super accurate to the situation that I'm dealing with in my life right now, right? So, you know, this is always about him. It's not about you refining some art, but the attempt that we're trying to go toward here is how to live in closer relationship. And when I can put myself in the proximity of finding that closer relationship, I think it's then when my prayer can just become more fun, more easy, and more effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. I was likening it to when I was a second year missionary here at Damascus, and we were just getting things underway. This was a big conviction on me and a few brothers' hearts. Like, we want to go on an adventure with the Lord that's just dependent on His voice. And it was so funny because actually me and two of the other missionaries and then one of our summer missionaries got together, and we were like, what if we just took a weekend and just drove and asked the Lord where we felt like we were supposed to go and saw where conviction and like cohesion was and just went there. And it's so funny because in hindsight, like that trip, like we spent a whole weekend doing it. Do I think that God was incredibly determined to get us to a particular place? Like, no, I don't. But I do think that like the adventure of it stands out to me, that we just gave us space in a very radical way. And when I look back at it, I can see things that God did along the route that just confirmed that, like, I want to go on an adventure with you guys too. Like, He didn't prove to me that we went to the space that He had in mind the whole time, but that He was accompanying us was incredibly like evident to me mm-hmm. afterwards. And so not that you need to take a whole weekend, but I think just what you're saying, Aaron, like those opportunities when they come in different seasons of our lives to just be like, hey, I'm just going to be a fool just this time, and just being okay with that. Like, I'm going to text this person because I do feel like God said something. Worst case scenario, that person knows you love them and thought about them.
Yep.
Like, that's worst case scenario. Worst case scenario that weekend, I have an amazing time with three brothers that I get to go on a car ride with.
It sounds like the crazy wild things that somebody might do if you were infatuated with a new girlfriend, or something. Right?
That's really interesting.
I'm willing to drop everything and drive across the country to be with
I'll
you.
Look foolish
for a 10-minute date.
Yes, that's right.
Right, and what if I were actually madly in love with
the Lord?
With the Lord,
yeah, like no, it would be an adventure.
I'm willing to do anything to be closer.
I do think fear gets in the way, like you were saying, though, Dan.
And I think we often, when we're engaging dialogue with God, we're only going to Him for things that are really big and really far off, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, what's my vocation, or should I quit this job or not quit this job? Like, what should we do about my kid, like with schooling? And we have these big things where, but we don't engage Him on the small things. And so if we're only concerned about the bigger destinations and we don't care about the, oh, hey, that looks fun, let's stop there, then we don't actually, we don't have the kind of friendship that is even able to trust His voice when He calls us to something bigger. Mm. And so I think those small moments are what give you more confidence in the big moments. It's the, oh yeah, I was tired of doing this. I was tired of work today. And I asked the Lord, hey, how am I going to get through the next hour? How can you bless me right now to engage? And those small moments, those random stops, are what allow us to have confidence in the bigger voice when He speaks it.
That's right.
As a great king once said, journey before destination.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Who is the great king?
Nohadan is his name.
Was this from Stormlight or something? Oh, jeez. Okay.
Well, we're back in that.
We just lost it.
I haven't heard the Lord's voice tell me to read Stormlight just yet, but I completely agree. I think there is an element to it where we have to be able to look at the Lord and just say, like, I want to give even the smallest moments to you. Like, yeah, I want to give you my big decisions, but I want to give you small moments too. And anything that's holding me back from doing that, like, help me in that. But even that engages in dialogue. Yeah. I have 2 cents to throw in, almost knock over my microphone while I'm at it. But I think mine just kind of builds off of both of yours. And it's a little bit of a different way to engage, in case this is helpful for anyone listening. I think one of the ways that you can get better at listening to the voice of God, hearing God in prayer, hearing the voice of God, like however it was phrased, is by engaging your conscience. And this has been super helpful for me in my relationship with the Lord, because I completely agree that those like ways that he speaks to us that are so common that it's fun, right? That like in the call of Samuel, he thinks it's Eli down the hallway. Like, mm-hmm. like those are really cool ways of engaging God. But sometimes I enjoy just sitting and allowing my conscience to tell me things I know only God like could know, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that I've seen a lot of fruit in my life of engaging in a daily examine. And it's a prayer that was suggested by Ignatius to be a great tool for Christians to use every day. And you can use it multiple times a day. You can use it even in like moments. And I do it more often in the moments. I want to start getting like a time every day where I do it. I just have never gotten to the greatest discipline there. But throughout the day, like even last night, I gave a message, and on my ride back, there was just something that was not sitting right with me, is how you would probably say it in like the natural sense. And so I just engaged the Lord there. I'm like, okay, I believe that the conscience wants to instruct me in the ways of righteousness. And so if this thing is off a little bit, or I'm feeling off about it, I want to engage that. Okay, why am I feeling that way? What was it about it? And what begins happening is those like that like interior feeling begins almost like moving. Mm-hmm. Like it almost like shapes the path that I'm walking. It's almost like putting up bumpers at like a bowling alley. Like it starts like orienting the ball down the course. And so I'm like bouncing back and forth of like, well, I feel this way, but I meant to do it. Oh, wait. And it starts just creating a course for me. And that's been super helpful for me in seasons where I might be a little more scrupulous or a little more doubtful that like what I'm hearing from God that is perfectly matching exactly what I know I want is right, you know?
Yep.
And what happens is I can then just engage the conscience and I can say, okay, Lord, where was your grace in that moment? Did I engage with it? Did I yield to it? Or did I do what I wanted to do? Or did I avoid it? And if I did, and then let's just go down the line. And if I did avoid it, why did I avoid it? Oh, where did that fear come from? Oh, why did I just go with what I thought? Oh, I wanted to be right. I didn't care what was true. I just wanted to be the one that people looked at as having the right solution. Like what begins happening there is you know yourself more and more. And if there's anything that dialogue with God does, it teaches you about you.
Yeah.
Because God loves you and God wants you to know the parts of himself he's put in you. And anyway, the conscience does that. So again, if any of this is kind of new to you, like I've never really read scripture and thought about it as like words to me, or I've never like taken personal time in prayer to just engage God like I would a friend, you should do all of that. But if any of that feels like too like distant from where you're at, start in the moment and just go, how am I feeling right now about what I just did or what I just said or my work day or the way I engaged my wife or my kid or the way I engaged my coworker? Like there's 1,000 ways to do it, and then allow your conscience to be instructing and see the path that it lays out.
That's
awesome, Brad.
There's something I like this a lot, Brad, because it's been something I've been wrestling with lately. And it's that this emphasis that we have in the church of doing what God wants us to do or hearing what God is speaking, it almost creates a division within ourself that isn't actually real. Mm-hmm. It almost makes God so otherly mm-hmm. from me or so other from me that I spend my whole existence trying to figure out what he's saying or what he wants me to do, and that where I actually create a division in myself as opposed to unity within myself. And mm-hmm. and I think the spiritual life is coming so it's not this voice out there or this will out there that I have to figure out, but it's the indwelling of God within me that I come to trust and understand and get behind. And it's almost like when we say like trust your gut, well, what like or trust your conscience maybe, but it's what if the Holy Spirit is my gut?
That's right.
What like the Holy Spirit, the voice of God is my gut, the voice of God is my conscience. And so that is I'm not divided against myself. I'm God is actually, he is integrating me, not dividing me. And it's a I don't know if you guys could explain that reality awesome. Better in the spiritual life.
Yeah, but for new age concerns, please email Beyond the Pastor. Well,
and that is, I think that's why we're that's scared of it, because and that's why we're so threatened by hearing God in prayer, is because we're so afraid to mess up that we've stopped trusting that God is a loving father who just is with us and has designed us for the good.
Can I present an image that I think is really funny? So all of this process, I agree that the process that you're identifying is critical. All of it falls apart if we just remember for a second that God actually has access to my thoughts. Like God has full knowledge of my thought life. So how many times have I sat and have all of us sat like in, you know, I'm thinking, how do I want to phrase this prayer? Or how do I want to engage in this preparation? preparation for confession in a way that puts me in a good light. And the awkwardness is that like God's in the room.
Yeah.
So it's as if I'm, you know, writing notes for all the things that I want to say in a conversation with Dan. And then I accidentally give Dan my notes. Like, well, crap, everything has now been, or I accidentally BCC or CC somebody on an email they weren't supposed to receive. You've done that before.
Like I've been there,
All of a sudden, all of the mystique is gone. And it's like, oh crap. Well, I'm a person in relationship and like, you see all my stuff. Yeah. And I love whenever I start to take myself a little too seriously, I just remember that like, okay, yeah, God, you had access to all the backstage stuff just
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
The veil is much thinner than you think. Well,
And let me make it as basic as possible. Like we are afraid of us messing up, but God's not. He never said that. He never said live life afraid to mess up. Mm-hmm. And the reason that frees us, imagine it like this. So I grew up at a little house on the Ohio River and it has awesome opportunities to go outside as a like young boy and help your dad with all kinds of stuff, like tearing down fence posts and stuff. And let's just say that my dad one day to little Brad goes, hey, can you tear down that fence post for me? Because it's starting to get a little wobbly and I'd like to put in a new one. And let's say I hear him and go, yeah, totally. I get what you're saying. And I go and tear down the wrong fence post. Okay. Like when my dad comes back, like what's funny is it's like, oh, I told you to tear down. Oh, you tore down the wrong fence post. Like a good father doesn't respond with like, and so I will now never instruct you ever again. And like, you totally, it's like, let's just put that fence post back in and then we can tear the other one down together. Like, because a good father isn't concerned with a son screwing up, because like, let's take it to the nth degree and say, you do think you hear something in your conscience that is wrong. Like the only way to course correct that is by like literally engaging it and then giving it over to the Lord in repentance. Like we just get so stuck and don't move because of the fear of messing up. But God, not one time is Jesus like, at least as far as I can tell, when I read through the Gospels, Jesus isn't like, be very fearful of messing up. He's usually like, get your heart right. Mm-hmm. That's usually like, again, I'm simplifying it tremendously, but it's like, get your heart right. Get your heart right and love and serve and be humble and repent when you're wrong. And that seems to be more than, hey, never screw up ever and make sure you're right before you do it. Like, it's I've just don't see it once.
Could we maybe give a little coaching on some of the practicals of how to hear God more clearly in prayer? Do one of you guys want to do that? Like the kind of the seeing, the hearing.
Yeah, Brad identified in scripture, there's a lot of different ways that we see God actually, and it's cool. He in relationship, he creates a school where he asks us how to respond or teaches us how to respond. So there's a handful of different examples. One of my favorite examples about hearing is Samuel, the prophet Samuel, as you identified, that Samuel is hearing a voice calling to him. And that voice sounds so familiar to him that he believes it is his boss, Eli. Mm-hmm. And Eli instructs him, no, next time you hear that voice, I want you to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So like effectively, you know, when you hear that voice that sounds like the thing you always hear, just give honor to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to honor you, speak, and I'm going to listen. And we hear the voice in our head every single day. That's how we engage in thought, right? And next time you feel that inclination that you know, maybe I should reach out to this person, or maybe I should do this or that, or I love actually going straight from that example of Samuel. How many times have you walked through your day and you kind of like think that you hear someone shout your name or say your name? I love when that happens. Every time that happens, even if it's like, yeah, that, you know, that could have been Daryl over there saying something that sounded like Aaron, I'm always just like, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Mm-hmm. Because it creates an opportunity for me to be able to practice responding.
I'm just going to randomly start saying your name from a distance.
I would love it, Dan. But I'll make it my ringer on my phone. Yeah.
I can add a little bit to that. I think very practically, like in your mind, when you're in prayer, dialogue. Yeah. So dialogue usually involves questions. It usually involves prompts, right? Yeah. And do that in your mind and heart in your prayer time and wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. So like, Lord, we teach this to middle schoolers, right? Lord, do you love me? There's a yes or no, and one that we have good scriptural evidence for. So you have a preconceived notion, but wait to see what he does. And what's amazing is very seldom when we have middle schoolers testify to that, do they say, he just said yes in as monotone a voice as you could imagine. imagine, right? Like, it's usually like he said yes, and he said it in a way that looked me in the eye, you know, or he said yes by showing me a heart that was beating, right? Like, there's these different things. And then when they trust that that's him, what happens is subsequent questions begin to have kind of hallmarks of how he's speaking to them. And that's what's so beautifully unique about all of us is I hear God probably a lot differently than Dan or Aaron do, but that's actually because I'm in relationship with him and who I am. And so he knows Brad and he speaks to Brad as Brad would hear. But like you said, there's some common hallmarks that like he'll speak to us in images, and we see this in scripture, and you'll see it in your prayer time. If you start asking questions, like he'll just give you a snapshot and you're like, okay, Lord, I trust that. What are you telling me in that snapshot? He'll speak words like we're speaking together today. He'll give you a feeling like the one I had last night of like, that's just not sitting right with me. And I don't know why. Oh, great. That's a feeling. Let me give that to the Lord and see what he does with it. And he'll do that in your prayer time. And then lastly, and this can be a little more nuanced, but not exactly. It's just knowing that like, it's like, I can't really determine that that was a word, or it's not even fully like a feeling. It's just, I'm certain, like I'm certain that this is the path, or this is the answer to that, or whatever. And there's just a knowing. And once you begin dialoguing in your prayer time, again, don't get caught up in having to know the categories, but those are the sorts of things that God does.
This is the essence of the spiritual life. This is really what it's all about. I think so often we make Christianity so much more, but yeah, this is the essence of it is I have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and now I can have communion with God here on earth. The kingdom of God is at hand. And it's that communion with God through dialogue with him that I am led to in the life that I'm called to live. And this is what we exist for.
That's literally
for
the good news of salvation. Yes. Literally.
So if you don't think you can hear, like if you're like, I can't hear God in prayer, like you have to break that lie, because it negates everything that God did for us. Like his entire, all of salvation history is God trying to reach you to have a conversation with you. That's why Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. Like it's all revelation, so that you and I can be like in communion with him. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Amen.
Honestly, it's
amen.
Like, whew, it's
well
fun.
Said. Well
all
said.
Right. Do you want to close us with the mission of the week?
Yeah. I have a mission of the week for us. I am excited for this because I think it has encounter in it and mission in it. So what I want to invite you to do this week is in your personal prayer time, I want you to sit with the Lord, and I want you to just ask him to show you what it is he wants to speak to you, and just wait on him and like, see what image comes, what word comes, and then just ask follow-up questions like you would anyone that would show you something like that. And once you kind of get to the heart of the matter, so let's give an example. If he shows the image of a river and you think to yourself like, oh, because a river is always flowing, like the Lord wants to work in a new way through me because the river is always changing. Like imagine whatever it is. I want that to be the first step. But then the second step is once you conclude that prayer time, thank the Lord, and then ask the Lord who you could share that image with that would be blessed by it too. And what that'll do is it'll begin to allow you to engage God as who you are and take that into mission. And I think that's really powerful. So just allow the Lord to show you something, and then ask the Lord who that you know might benefit from knowing that too. And then take the step of reaching out to them via text. I love that, Aaron. And just watch what God does. It's really, really cool when we can step out, because even if the person is caught off guard by it, they're going to be loved and they're going to be seen. And that's the goal of our lives.
Amen. Thanks for journeying with us on Beyond Damascus. This is the show where mission makes sense.
I didn't know what you were doing there, but I liked it a lot.
I wanted to see if I changed it up a little bit, if you guys could hang in there. I think you did it.
You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to the whole version of today's episode on www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts, or check us out on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We will be right back after a short commercial break.
This is Dale Alquist. When G.K. Chesterton was asked why he became Catholic, he said, "To get rid of my sins. Only the Catholic Church can do that." He said that when a man steps out of the confessional, he's 5 minutes old and his whole life has just started over again. When we confess our sins, our souls are wiped clean. We get to start all over again.
Hi, this is Brother John Bosco Mills. In our world, there are so many words and so many images, and they all have different messages, and they're giving us different messages. We need Catholic radio because we need to hear the voice of truth. And the voice of truth is the one that tells us about Jesus and his church. And Catholic radio gives us that truth.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is His Body and Blood, Franciscan Saints on the Eucharist. In this EWTN original docudrama, learn how St. Francis of Assisi, St. Clare, St. Padre Pio, and St. Paschal Bailon found their divine inspiration within the Blessed Sacrament. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Another weekend means another chance for us to build our community of faith on this weekend's Catholics Coast to Coast. I'm Ace McKay and invite you to join me as we highlight the conversations happening. Go to Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. That way you can take them with you, share them, like, subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do so you don't miss future episodes. So join me for Catholics Coast to Coast tomorrow at 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel
My
Radio.
My free time.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Perfect. You should spend your free time talking over microphones about nonsense. No, I'm kidding.
My daughter Sophia commented the other day, her favorite part of Beyond Damascus is the way we react to the question.
Is that right?
And she did each of our reactions and she did them pretty well.
I believe that. We have distinct personality features, yeah. All three of us.
All right.
I'll jump.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so how should I spend my free time? I'm going to give my 2 cents just from mostly experience. So I think first of all, when you're asking about free time, I'm presuming this is like time outside of work and like other key responsibilities. One of the coolest talks I heard early in my conversion was on the power of recreation and just the idea that recreation is called recreation for a reason, that there's this ability for us to like recreate within ourselves the passions and things that we have. There's a book by Joseph Pieper, or I think it's Joseph Pieper, but it's Leisure
is Pieper.
I know. I was going to be more concerned
about it.
It
is his last name.
No, it is. I always thought it was.
I think it's probably Joseph.
P-I-P-E-R.
Yeah. P-I-E-P-E-R, something like that. Yeah, it's something. Leisure is the basis of culture. Anyway, the idea in that book is that like he goes from a philosophical angle, but ultimately, as we would understand from a Christian perspective, like God has given us these opportunities in life to engage with the things that bring us passion and joy so as to allow ourselves to come alive in the responsibilities and things that we're called to steward. That there's actually this like beautiful balance between like, I need responsibilities to manage and I need hobbies to recreate in, and they actually serve one another, that I can enjoy my recreation more when I take appropriate responsibility and I can take appropriate responsibility better whenever I recreate. And we see that in just the idea of Sabbath, right? Like if we had a day that we could set aside for rest and for just, again, being with family and things that can fall by the wayside if we're responsibility all the time. So how should I spend my free time? I'm going to give kind of a wide answer, but spend it in a way that would create you in the most joyful and alive way possible. And even a great example is the conversations we always have. Like for me, a lot of times that's going and playing basketball or even just shooting shots at a local gym or going out and throwing a frisbee, like in frisbee golf, you can just like throw at a particular target. And like that allows me to just engage outside of just mind and theory and just in whatever's happening or writing or reading for others. So what I would say is how to spend your free time, spend it in something that recreates the best parts of you. So if you're the artistic sort, make sure you're regularly recreating that artisticness in yourself. If you're like an outdoorsman of sorts, like go and do that, because the more you create yourself anew, the more you're going to handle your responsibilities better. I'll put a semicolon there.
Brad, I didn't know you liked frisbee golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. Good stuff. I like Frisbee golf. Yeah, we could compete.
I actually would love it.
Yeah.
We should do
a Beyond Damascus episode on the Frisbee golf.
Please. On the course.
Yeah. Please do this. Well, it's one of the few things I do where I just don't feel like I have to like talk or do anything during it. Yeah. It's just like,
I actually got a marketing email yesterday asking if we wanted to build a Frisbee golf course here.
I know.
It is. I didn't know they would email you so quickly.
We are one of the few camps in the country, I'm sure, without Frisbee golf. Yeah. No. That's great. Anyway, I think that's beautiful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Recreate
that's,
yourself.
If you are hungry for this, I think that The Art of Leisure by Josef Pieper is the way to go. Thanks. I like that. I'll go next. Oh, totally missed. I'm trying to. All right, that got one out too. That's not too bad. Whoever's asking this question, I do want to kind of just stay like, don't feel like, I think sometimes we can feel, this is a show where encounter meets mission. And I think sometimes in our missionary spirit, we can feel like everything has to be 100% missional or I'm sinning. And if there is a level of scrupulosity going on there, I just want to kind of get that off of your shoulders. I think
when
that,
you say missional, you're like, everything has to have a result that comes from it. It has to be productive.
Yeah. Like if,
churchy.
Yeah. Like this churchy. Is, if I have free time, I have to use it to serve the poor or I have to use it to teach religious education, mm-hmm. that kind of, and, and then all of a sudden if you fill that with, then it's no longer free time. Right. And so I think one of the, in the same way we are kind of goofing off about budget in the earlier the show, like your time is a limited resource. And so you want to use the limited resource of your time really well. And, but I think part of that budget, we were talking about fun money in the budget. I think probably having some fun time is really important in the budget of our life. And even the, I would say I have gone through seasons where maybe a long season of just going way too hard too, where it's all just, I've got to pour out, and I wasn't filling up enough. And so I think finding and identifying those things of what to do with your free time is really valuable. And then not only what am I going to do, but who do I want to do it with, I think is also really important. Right. And so, that free time is a natural for friendship and community. And so to really, to utilize that as a blessing. One of the things I've been trying to do with my free time lately, and I'll just speak out of what's blessing me in my spiritual life right now, is I'm diving into things that seem interesting to me and I'm using them as really like fascinating learning experiences. And, I'm almost like engaging in newer hobbies that have always like have been, things that have interested me that I've wanted to dive into, but I never did. And I'm trying to see the universal kingdom of God in these things, right? Whereas I think for a long time I was like, oh, okay, if I'm doing something over here that's not super church related, it's just going to be not church related. And I'm actually seeing what I would say the kingdom or the ecclesia it present in the world in a really beautiful way. And so one of two things, how do I use my free time? Do what you do and do it for Jesus, right? So whatever you love to do, do it for him, right? So if you love sport, like sports, go and do that and just make him present in that arena, right? Or do what you do and look for Jesus there. So do what you do and do it for him, make him present there, or go and do it and find where he's present there, because he's present in all things. That's a notion that we have as Christians. And so go and make him present in these unique passions on your heart, or go and look for his presence in those areas, because that's actually going to start blessing your spiritual life.
Yeah.
What are some highlights, Dan, of the stuff you've been doing that's different?
Like what are the highlights of what I'm seeing, or what
hobby have you been putting off that you've been enjoying now?
Yeah. In high school, music really spoke to me. And then I just kind of got out of the music scene, quite a bit. So, I've just been exploring different, genres of people who are going to these different small shows. And it's been really cool to kind of really, I've encountered a whole different, like people that are just new and fresh and exciting. And, so I think that kind of stuff has really been blessing me. I'm a curious person. So what natural personality tendency is, I like to see what's broken and imagine how it can be transformed. Right. So like my kids always laugh, 'cause I always like to drive through the worst neighborhoods, because I just enjoy seeing, brokenness, and I find beauty in brokenness. And so I've just been more intentional on going to areas of where there's more brokenness and spending time there. And it's been so life-giving to have carefree timelessness around the things that naturally attract my my heart.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I wonder if the person asking this can also maybe get bogged down with, I have limited free time and so many things I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been just recently, like literally started this year, implementing just like a quarterly goal of what I want to spend free time doing. And then the next quarter it can change. But then what that does is it gives me 3 months to not try to do everything, but just to kind of get back engaged with this thing that's been on my heart or that I've fallen out of rhythm with.
Yeah.
Because you, especially as you take on more responsibility, if I can go back to that kind of dichotomy quick, like the more you have responsibility, kind of the less your margins are. And so you have to be intentional with them. And if you try to do everything in your margins, you end up doing nothing. So I love that you're like engaging those couple things and like, how can I do this intentionally? And if it would help you, if you're listening and you're the sort of person that's like, where do I start? Like just choose something and then engage it. And then as you naturally move on, you can have a season of the different things that you want to engage in.
That's awesome. I had a similar experience. I do have a couple hobbies. One of them has been scuba diving. And it's neat because what you find is that as you dive into something that is specialized, there's a whole different group of people that has also committed their lives to that unique and specialized thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, the friends that I met and the people that I engage with in the scuba diving community, like there's very little crossover between all the stuff that I'm normally doing and who knows what kind of like reach they have in the other areas of their life. But it's this, unique thing that brings you together. So I guess the reason I say that is I think a lot of our shows have talked about evangelization and just having exposure to people and how do I get outside of my own little bubble of influence? It might be intimidating for me to, go and try to find a person on the street who's of a different, whatever than I am. But maybe if you go and do something that's enjoyable for you, like scuba diving or playing frisbee golf, like you're going to then meet people who have different life experience than you and who you can engage with.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I wonder like, what is it? Maybe is it a fear of like being lazy or being unholy that has us wrestle with free time? I don't know. Cause I think both of you guys could probably attest cause just knowing you two, like there is something about ministry that at times in my life has felt like it needs to be all encompassing and like the things I need to be doing need to be moving towards this thing. And it has been as I've matured that I've learned otherwise that actually, again, kind of the two sides that I presented in my two cents mutually benefit each other. Yeah. But what is it that maybe it's just a learning curve that we're supposed to go through, but I wonder if you guys have insight to that. Like, is it a fear of being lazy? Is it like just I have a finite amount of time and I want to get somewhere. So I want to produce fast. Mm. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I think there's a good part of, I think it in the Christian culture right now, we want to take everything and just make it Christian. So like if there's, I think about like finances is a good, like we, there's like, okay, well here's the financial planners and here's the Christian financial planners, or like we Christianize everything. And I think part of the reason we do that is because we've drawn like too far of a dichotomy between Christ and the world and the, everything is a battle against the world. And, so now everything that's not of Christ or explicitly Christian seems evil. Right. And so I think we actually have a responsibility in Christianity right now. And I don't think this is a global issue. I think this is probably very prevalent in America because Americans love to create sides. There's the Democrats and the Republicans. There's the Christian and the non-Christian and everything becomes or the Christian thing to do and the non-Christian thing to do. I think it's most properly engage back in the world and see that the kingdom of God is at hand and that I can, when I'm engaging in the world, I'm still a part of the kingdom and the world is not the world is not dominated by the devil. The world is actually, Jesus Christ has already come into the world and his presence is in this world. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so as I engage the world, I am bringing the light of Christ into the world and I'm joyfully going into the world to discover where is Christ present. Mm-hmm. And so I think the more we can bring unity as opposed to division, I think is ultimately what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Uniting. Yeah. Not disintegrating yourself.
Yeah.
Let me throw 2 cents in here. So going off that, there's 2 words that stand out to me, Dan, and one would be sanctified versus distracted.
Mm.
So when I do something intentionally and when I set it aside for a sacred purpose or for a holy purpose, it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be fun or joyful, but it's intentional versus accidental. And I think like, what should I not be doing with my free time? I should not be doing activities that add nothing to my life.
Mm-hmm.
I should not be doom scrolling on Instagram, right?
Simply distracting myself.
That's an unhealthy behavior that it has become part of our, I don't know, part of our modern lexicon that like, I'm so overworked or I'm so overstimulated that I need to decompress by just doing something completely mindless.
Veg out.
And I think that process is not actually free time exercised well. Like that is theft of my life and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the it's not even a matter of the medium that's being engaged. I think it's a matter of the disposition of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So one could actively and productively engage in YouTube. Like there's a ton of incredible thought and, mm-hmm. and entertainment and joy that can happen through YouTube. And one can also engage in a way that's incredibly self-destructive through YouTube. Using just a single example, right? And I think the difference comes in an intentionality of the orientation of heart. That when I have the occasional 3 minutes to myself in the course of a day, like what am I going to, how am I going to orient that time? Am I going to allow that to be a timeless breath of fresh air that I'm engaging in with my integrated Christian person and in relationship with God, whether that relationship leads me to a game on my phone or a message to a friend or a video on YouTube or whatever, or closing my eyes and taking a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Like all of those things I think are on the table. But what's not on the table is divorcing myself from intentionality. I think that's where mine goes.
Yeah, I love it. I also think there's something about development that we are made to do as people. And so if we're intentional in how we spend our free time, development is happening. And when we're not, it's not happening. Mm. And I think there is something to that. So like, even when I'm going and just taking jump shots in the gym, it's like I'm developing myself into a more, what would you say, disciplined, refined basketball player. But that doesn't seem like a lot, but it's not purely about that. It's just, mm-hmm. I'm refining something about myself and there's development that's unfolding because of it.
As a wise sage once said, art doesn't have to be useful.
This is, who did it?
Who said it? Who was the wise sage?
We're in dangerous waters. Dangerous waters.
It's a trick question.
Yeah.
He goes by many names, but in any case, I think what I would push back a little bit that
please
like,
do it.
The time doesn't have to be in productive, but it just has to be intentional. Hmm. Like,
okay,
don't let life happen to you. Like you be the player.
Yeah. I don't think I'm in disagreement with that. Yep. So I think if what I'm saying sounds different than that, I don't mean it that way. I think what I'm trying to kind of get at is there is just an incarnational reality about our lives.
Yep.
And so like when I'm in a space, let me be in that space, developing myself in that space
sure.
for whatever I should be. So let me like, even if I'm just developing my heart, like when I watch a comedic act and I love comedy, you know? So like when I watch a good bit and I'm like laughing there's something about developing my heart to just enjoy life. Like, and so I'm not meaning development in the strict productive
Got
way,
it.
But
yep.
more in the, like when I intentionally engage something, I'm becoming more human. Like I'm more in the space that I'm at, not absent and distant from who I really am. Even the stuff that you're doing, Dan, too, I think, like in the music space and even with different groups of people.
No, I just wonder I wonder if you would go up to a secular person and ask them the question, how should I use my free time? What their answer would be. And I wonder, because sometimes we place, we just place such a burden on ourselves as Christians, that is, I mean, of course, I don't want to suggest that we have I just wonder if we've, like, the fact that we're asking this question even is like coming from a place of like, we feel so burdened that I need to be doing everything in my life has to be perfect, right? And that I'm afraid that I'm not doing something perfect. So even my free time, I have anxiety over whether or not God's pleased with my free time. And don't fall into kind of an unhealthy trap there, you know, that like God wants us to enjoy life and enjoy the people in our lives. And so if you're feeling burdened, so burdened that like you're concerned that you're doing free time wrong, I just don't know how healthy of a burden that is.
Yeah. Yeah. You can lift that off yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Give it like recognize that life is meant to be enjoyed, not just to be figured out.
Yeah.
And I think there is a real healthiness.
I do love what both of you guys said, intentionality and forecasting, kind of like you said, like a quarter, like what over the next 3 months, how do I intentionally want to utilize my time? And I think there's so much fruit that can come from that.
I've just realized that I'll have a year where I intended to do 8 things all year and never did it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that might just be, I'm sure some people listening can, but what's helped me is just, I'm going to do this. So when I have the time and I'm like, what do I do with this time? I know that this is the thing that I want to do for these few months in that time. And it's helped me a lot. Great. Thanks for asking this question. I think, questions like this are just fun. They're different than how we usually answer them. So I've been kind of like stumbling as I've been like, I don't know even how I would answer this for myself, but I love it. Aaron, maybe a mission of the week around free time, how we engage it. What do you think?
I'll jump on just something real easy that's worked for me and helped me. And maybe I'm the only person who is tempted toward distraction sometimes in the midst of my life, but, I have, when I have 5 minutes in my day to sit down and to do something mindless, I try to make a commitment that the mindless thing that I'm going to do is actually going to be something that I desire. So like one example is, I put my timer on the YouTube app or whatever. And when that timer comes up, I then have to decide, am I going to choose to re-engage in this, or can I go do something that I actually find meaningful for my life, like learning French on Duolingo or reading the Saint of the Day on my Divine Office app. So it actually kind of creates a decision point, an inflection point where I have to determine what's going to come next. So
are you learning French?
Oui.
Yeah, good.
Well, nice.
I have that exact word memorized as well in the French. Yeah.
I didn't actually. Okay. Just to be completely frank, I'm like, it sounds right. That's fine. Yeah, yeah.
I'll be hanging out with my French buddy next week. I'm excited.
Great. Yeah. That is good.
Anyway, identify something meaningful that you want to do. So next time you are tempted toward distraction, you can go to that place rapidly as opposed to trying to decide in the moment.
Yeah. Love it.
Cause usually that doesn't go too well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. Dan, close in prayer.
Yeah. Let's do it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your divine presence in all things. Lord, we thank you for coming into this world and bringing the kingdom here. Lord, we pray that you would train our minds and our hearts and our eyes to see you in all things and in all people, that you would make your marvelous beauty known in this world, and that you would edify and console our hearts everywhere we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, thanks for joining us. This has been Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. And the question this particular go around, I think, is just a testament to like the fact that we can encounter Jesus in our everyday lives, and we can be on mission with Jesus in our everyday lives, not just doing the church related stuff, not even just doing the work related stuff, but in our every day, every moment, all the time. And so if this has been a blessing to you, this episode or any of the others that you can find, I'm sure attached in some way, shape or form to this, feel free to send that to a friend just to see how they can begin engaging with Encounter and Mission in new ways. And if you have any questions that you'd like for us to address on the show, drop those in the comments below or let us know whose opinion you like the most, and obviously put me. And then, if you have any questions that you don't want to put in the comments, but you'd like to send to us, send those over to beyond@damascus.net. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're so grateful for you. Thanks for listening this week. And we want to remind you, as always, that mission makes sense.
Friends, thanks for listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. You can listen to the whole version of today's show by searching for Beyond Damascus on YouTube or your favorite podcast app.